everybody. I'm back. I'm Karen Hardy Glass. And I think we got everything all taken care of, which is great. So we can move forward. I like moving forward. Hello, Dr. Dulaney. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad we could connect.
Yes. I wasn't paying attention, so... I had the computer on, but I wasn't accepting requests, so I'm sorry.
You know, it's funny that you just said that because I had on my list of notes, I wanted to talk about paying attention just briefly, and you brought it up, so I'm going to do that right now. There are just so many things that we need to pay attention to, little signs, because if we don't take care of something, and you could probably speak of this as a doctor, things can get worse. Just as an example, I had a problem with my toilet today. And, you know, you could very easily say, oh, I'll let it go. But, you know, things could really become problematic with leaks. And you don't want to let something like that go. You've got to take care of it when something happens. And I've also got some terrible news recently about a daughter of a friend of mine who had some stomach issues, I guess, and she didn't want to see a doctor. A lot of people have issues about going to doctors, many, many levels. And she ended up dying of peritonitis.
Oh, yes, peritonitis. Oh, my. That's terrible. You would have thought that, yeah.
Something curable, but when you let it go, it kills you.
Yes.
So we need to be mindful. We need to pay attention.
Yes, that's why people oftentimes ignore their blood pressure or their cholesterol because it doesn't hurt. And so they just ignore it because it's not causing a problem. And it when the problem arises, it's in the form of a stroke or a heart attack. So, yes, pay attention.
Pay attention. And, you know, a lot of us, I know a lot of my listeners, we're kind of wary of the current medical system because we don't have that many plant-based doctors out there. And we don't have a lot of confidence in what they want to recommend. But what I like to say is at the very minimum, if you have a problem, at least get tested. You can decide what you want to do about it afterwards, but at least find out what is the problem.
Yes, and I think that, you know, you should have a dialogue. And if you can't have a dialogue with a physician, then that's a reason to try to find another physician because you should be able to have a dialogue and an open discussion about treatment options, and certainly, you know, one of the treatment options being nutrition.
Yes. So tell us your story, how you became a plant-based doctor.
I became a plant-based doctor mainly for myself after reading A Diet for a New America by John Robbins. As soon as I read that, and then it kind of hit home about factory farming and then the medical conditions, I thought, okay, I'm vegan. This is just where it is. I'm an animal lover. It all makes sense to me. And then I kind of gradually, you know, everybody else thought I was crazy in the family. And so, you know, gradually, you know, please eat a piece of fish or please do this. And, you know, I kind of would wax and wane a little bit. And, for some reason I happened on, and I'm not even sure how I happened on Forks Over. Well, I know I'm a runner and I listen to podcasts, and one of the podcasts I listened to was a plant-based runner. And they were talking about some documentaries, and I started watching, and then one thing led to another, and I watched Forks Over Knives, and I thought, oh, my God. You know, over time, we would tell people, you know, certainly you need to be trim, you need to watch your cholesterol, watch your fat intake, maybe eat the Mediterranean diet. When I saw this, it's like, okay, everybody has to be plant-based. And that's kind of when I started the whole nutrition thing as far as making my office more plant-based. I became plant-based. My mother was also sick at the time. We kind of shared cooking responsibilities in the family, did, you know, kind of evening family dinners together, and she got lymphoma. My dad had dementia. Mm-hmm. I became the chief cook. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, we're all plant-based now. And so that's what happened. And she gradually got better, and she, you know, got on board with the plant-based thing. And so the house remained from that day on 100% plant-based, and it's worked well for us. And we're trying to get as many people in the office now plant-based.
Wow. And when did you read Diet for America by John Robbins?
I would say in the probably either 99-2000 range, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was funny, there was a girl, I do heart catheterizations, and one of the cath lab technicians was vegan. And, you know, I'm from West Virginia originally, I live in Florida now. And there, you know, I did not know any vegans or even vegetarians growing up. And that when, you know, I was, you know, inquired to her, and I don't know if she led me to that book or not, but as soon as I read that book, of course, you know, I quizzed her because I, you know, coming from West Virginia, I thought, you know, how could anybody not eat meat or, you know, that's just, you know, that's just crazy. And, but, so it's funny how it evolved, and it doesn't, you know, nothing seems more right to me than eating plant-based now.
Yes, amen to that. Now, in hindsight, if you were to go through medical school again and could recommend what should be taught, is there a place for nutrition somewhere in that new curriculum?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the only nutrition that traditionally you learn in medical school is IV nutrition for critically ill people that can't take, you know, chew food. But yeah, there should be. It should be how it relates to disease. It should be worked right in through pathology. I mean, all that stuff should be, you know, part of the treatment. You know, it would be an amazing asset.
Now, I would love if I could find a doctor that was plant-based, but the best that I could do is in looking in my network and at the descriptions of the doctors available, I went with one that listed preventative medicine as one of the interests, and fortunately I found a doctor. She's terrific. She's not plant-based, but she respects what I'm doing, and that makes it a lot more comfortable for dialogue. But there aren't many of you out there. How do your patients respond? I'm sure most of them don't know what you're about, or do they?
No, the majority don't. Most people don't come looking. There's a few now that'll come looking because I am plant-based, but no, most people come sick looking for an answer, either that it's not your heart and you're going to be okay, or take this pill or we'll do this and you'll be okay, but it really won't affect the way they carry on their life. And, you know, so that's, and there's not much of an example out there how as a physician to approach that person. I've kind of learned and learning by the seat of my pants as far as, you know, people come in and I try to explain, well, this is what I believe, that your disease, you know, you're really in control of how this plays out, how your diabetes plays out, how's your high blood pressure pays out, how your coronary artery disease pay out. You know, you may have already had a bypass, but that disease will continue to progress unless you do something to prevent it and or reverse it. And this is what has been shown to reverse it. And, you know, then I kind of wait a little bit and see what kind of a response I get. You know, the look of fear, the look of terror, the look of anger, the look of, oh, my God, she's crazy. And go from there as far as, you know, how I'm going to approach the next step. And sometimes it stops there. You know, I give everybody references. I give everybody the prevent and we have the prevent and reverse heart disease book here in the office, and some plant-based low-oil cookbooks that they're willing to, you know, to buy. I'll give them the YouTube references on Dr. Esselstyn, Dr. McDougall, Dr. Bernard, you know, to watch. And sometimes it ends with, you know, watch these. And if you have any interest, give me a call. We do some plant-based nutrition courses in the office. I'd love to, you know, love to work with you, but I understand it's your choice. We, you know, the other option is to continue taking medicines, or this is a viable option.
I don't understand what goes through every individual's head when they are faced with a health crisis. I know what went through my head when I was faced with a crisis, and I wanted to find out everything I could possibly do to survive and thrive. And based on what I researched, I figured out what I needed to do. And so far it's working. I'm 8.5 years out of an advanced ovarian cancer diagnosis, and I'm fine. But there are other people, they'll get a diabetes diagnosis or they'll have a mini stroke. And there are things that they can do to turn things around, and they've gotten a warning even. But for many people, either they don't know what to do, or what you're recommending just seems overwhelming.
I think there's so much dietary information out there now. and not of a lot of it's plant-based. You know, there are the Nutrisystem ads, there are the Weight Watchers ads, there are the Diet Clinic ads, you know, there are the paleo ads. I think it's so confusing, and the most message, they don't get many messages from their physician. And if they do get the medicine, you know, when I see notes from other doctors, it usually says recommend diet and weight with weight loss and exercise. So if you're 65 years old and you've never exercised and you've been eating the same way that that you've been eating all of your life, then, you know, people say, you know, push back from the table, try to cut back portion control. That's kind of where it stops. And once they're given, especially diabetes, insulin, all of diabetic medicine drives appetite, insulin especially. So once they're given that medication, they become more hungry. Mm. You know, so they go down that road even further, and it typically gets worse instead of better.
Yeah, that's really sad.
And I also think that, you know, people talk to each other and they look around and, you know, it has become the norm to be on blood pressure medicine over 50 and cholesterol medicine. It's on the TV. The people look amazingly healthy that are on the cholesterol medicine advertisements, you know, even the Viagras and the Cialis, those people look perfectly fine and happy. So, you know, what's the problem?
And it's a big problem. Okay. So you're doing a great thing, and I was very excited to find out about you because there are not many plant-based doctors out there. There are more and more, and it probably feels good to you to know there are others out there like you. And I imagine you network with other doctors, go to conferences perhaps. Do you have this conversation about being plant-based? Do they listen? Do they raise your eyebrows, sly smirks?
Yes, the biggest, you know, certainly not much. You know, when you go and you eat at a conference, people will, you know, the food at medical conferences is terrible. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, it's rich food, donuts. There's nothing worse than going to a conference and trying to find food. And one of the funniest conversations is the doctor's lounge. And I actually have, you know, the people gather and congregate, especially in the morning, before hospital or after hospital rounds, and they have a little dining area and they have a little buffet cart, and it has eggs and bacon and sausage and, smoked salmon on Fridays, and there's a little bowl of oatmeal there, and that's all dried up, and then of course they have a waffle machine, you know, so and the sugary stuff for your coffee, and we've had the conversations. One, you know, I tell the joke, there was a cardiologist, an oncologist, and a general surgeon, and I in the doctor's lounge, and I was eating my oatmeal and they were eating their eggs and sausage, and the general breast cancer surgeon asked me what I thought of the Atkins diet. And I just went off. You know, I just went into my plant-based diatribe. And, you know, I'm sure once I started, they it's like, why did I even ask? But, you know, the oncologist left the room. The other cardiologist said, well, what will we do if everybody's cured of heart disease? And
God forbid.
And then the general surgeon he said I talked to him the longest, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, you know, when I've got all the weight off from my Atkins diet, I might want to talk to you more about this.
Yeah, if you don't die before then.
Yeah, and so he hasn't anymore, and he's still eating his eggs and sausage in the morning, and you know, so no, there's not much. There's not much inquiries about it. I know that I have patients that have seen an oncologist, and even the response has been, well, I don't know how you would eat like that. I don't like broccoli. you should eat
this. It's like they're 5 years old.
Yes, I know. And it's like, you know, the other one was, you know, you should eat as much protein as you can because the chemotherapy is going to make you sick. So eat all the high calorie foods you can so you don't lose weight. That was the other dietary recommendation.
Yes, and I have to interject here and say that when I was on aggressive chemotherapy, I went to see one of my oncologists, and he asked me how I was doing, and I said, I'm gaining weight. And he said, that is not a symptom of chemotherapy.
On a plant-based diet.
On a plant-based diet. I was gaining weight.
Yes, I've fought with the nephrologist. You know, people with advanced kidney disease sometimes tend to retain potassium, and potassium is really high in especially beans and fruits, tomatoes, cucumbers, you know. So those people who are very ill, they tend to tell them, and they lose protein because their kidneys just won't hold on to it. So they tell them to try to, you know, eat protein, but you can't eat potassium. So you have to stay away from all these good fruits and vegetables. And I actually went through and on a weekend, and if you take away, if you look at, there's potassium in meat, and if you take away the meat, the animal products, you can actually make enough room that you can eat vegetables in a healthy diet. And I tried to have that conversation with nephrologists, but I guess, you know, in their defense, it's so hard to educate. It takes so much time to educate somebody on that.
Yep. And, you know, these people, they are smart, and I want to believe that they went into the medical business to help people, and then something went wrong. Like, it's this human condition where we are deniers about so much that's obvious. You know, these heart surgeons that operate on people with heart disease, they see the fat. They see it right there. They have to be making the connection.
They also eat the steaks at the conference and believe so much in the fact in their ability to bypass lesions and them not come back that they feel invincible.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. Okay, let's turn around here. Tell me some of the happy success stories that you've experienced in your practice.
One of the success stories is actually a patient that her heart was affected by a particular type of cancer called amyloid. And she came in heart failure, and she had been on experimental chemotherapy, and they basically said, you know, it's getting to the end of the rope here. We're looking for different experimental drugs. And I said, have you ever tried a plant-based diet? And she said, you know, my daughter's plant-based, and she suggested I try that. And I said, you know what? I said, really? You know, and she said, I don't know that I want to do any more chemotherapy. And I said, you know what? Why don't you give it a try? Try a month. You know, be as strict as you possibly can. Eat as many greens as you can. See how you feel, you know, and if it doesn't, you know, you don't feel well, then, you know, you tried it. 2 years later, she's still doing quite well. And, her oncologist fired her. So that was, cause she didn't want to do the experimental chemotherapy because it was, you know, and they told her that basically it was probably a residual of the other chemotherapy that cured her in the end.
Sure. That's,
you know, another patient too had been bypassed, all the bypass grafts gone, chest pain, multiple caths, and finally we had the conversation. It's like, you know, try this, you know, and he's doing quite well. He added Tai Chi to his regimen. He's been plant-based for 2 years, no more caths, no more heart attacks, you know, and he's doing well. There, you know, I don't have a tremendous amount of, you know, I have my mother that had lymphoma that, you know, she did have chemotherapy, but, you know, she went through the chemotherapy completely plant-based, never had an infection, tolerated it well. Now at 82 is playing golf 3 times a week, Zumba twice a week, and feels great, you know, and making all kinds of Italian plant-based recipes now, you know, so I think those are success stories. It's hard. It's really hard to get people to believe that the food that they grew up on could be causing them to be ill.
Can we just diverge a minute and talk a little bit about healthcare in the United States and insurance and Obamacare, and has it affected you and your practice at all? Do you have any opinions on where we're going with that?
I don't know where we're going. You know, the little ray of light is that we're promised that people will be that there'll be more emphasis on well care than sick care. that people will start having to, that physicians maybe will start having to be accountable for keeping people healthy as opposed to watching them stay ill. But I haven't seen it yet. What we have seen is, you know, insurance is telling us what we can and can't do and what we can and can't order. You know, as far as diagnostic testing, the bills keep going up. You know, testing keeps increasing because that's how, because to see and talk to a patient, you don't get any reimbursement for, very little. It's testing that gets the reimbursement. So a lot of practices, especially primary care practices, can only survive by doing procedures. And there's, so there's 5-minute conversation with people and then they're testing and they're hoping they find something before it's lethal instead of, you know, and it drives me insane. You know, because if there was just a little bit more incentive to talk to people, you know, things would be a lot better.
Okay. So you do a plant-based podcast. Where can people find that?
It's on iTunes and Stitcher. It's Jamie Delaney. It's J-A-M-I Delaney, M-D, plant-based wellness podcast. And it's on Pod, Jamila Delaney, podbean.com.
Okay, well, I'm going to be posting the one where you interviewed me.
Fantastic.
Which
fantastic.
We did last week, and that was a lot of fun. So people who are in Southwest Florida can find you? Where are you
yes.
located?
Yes, I'm about 45 minutes south of Tampa and a little bit north of Fort Myers. So just kind of in this town called Port Charlotte, Florida, which is, you know, a mediocre little Florida town on the West Coast. So it's nice. We can, you know, you can kind of get anywhere quick, but, you know, it's a little, it's probably a, you know, more, it's a touristy area, fishing, you know, a lot of people come down here to fish, unfortunately. So there's, seafood and hush puppy restaurants all over the place.
Yeah. But West Florida, there are some really beautiful spots there.
Oh, it's gorgeous. You know, it's actually a very pretty area. And I must say that I listened to your debate, your little video I did. I watched the documentary of you and the Cattlemen's Association, and I loved it, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for watching The Lone Vegan Preaching the Lone Through Vegan, the Fire. Yeah, we need to have more conversations like that, and we need to be talking to the cattle producers. Yep. A lot of talking. Anyway, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. I'm so glad you're out there doing the work that you're doing, Dr. Delaney.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, go forth and be well.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, we have a few, maybe a minute or two left, and I just wanted to remind you, I was talking before about my new blog called What Vegans Eat, and I think they're really fun. They're short. They're sweet. They give you a lot of great ideas about what to eat. They link to a lot of our recipes. Please check it out. Let me know what you think of it. The other thing I wanted to mention is we have an event coming up here in New York, and if you want to meet me, you can at my Happy Earth Day review. It's on Earth Day, my birthday. Would love to see you there. Find out more at responsibleeatingandliving.com. It's on the homepage, and it's going to be a lot of fun. The Swingin' Gourmets are going to be there, and there'll be some fun food and drinks, and it's a benefit for responsible eating and living. Thank you for tuning in today. And we'll be back next week with more food conversation. Remember, have a delicious week.